This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to WWD Voices. I'm Arthur Zakowitz, executive editor at WWD. Today's guest is Adrian Nussenbaum, co-founder and co-CEO of Mirakl. Mirakl is a software as a service solution provider used by companies to manage their third-party marketplace and dropship businesses. Hey, welcome to WWD Voices. Adrian, thanks so much for taking time out today. You know, it's before we hit the record button, we're talking about NRF. It was very exciting this past year, and there's a lot of tech vendors. And you mentioned something interesting. You said that maybe we should start a union for the vendors because they don't get the love that they deserve, which I thought was kind of interesting. You know, you're right. It's
maybe it's my French roots starting unions.
And you also described it as a buffet, you know. Share that again. What do you mean when it's a buffet?
No, I mean, specifically when it comes to NRF, it's you have everything from store technologies to online technologies to warehouse technologies. So it can be a bit overwhelming. And I think, I mean, in a bit of a provocative way, everyone there thinks what they do is new, disruptive, unique, the best, and that it should be the focal point of attention of anyone attending. And obviously, Mirakl, we stand with that principle.
Tell a little bit about your company, what you do, and how it works.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, Mirakl is a technology company. And what we do on a high level is we work with, businesses across retail, distribution, manufacturers who are trying to identify new ways to grow their digital business and ideally grow without limits. So no limits of inventory, no limits of, I need to build a new factory to be able to sell something, no limits in terms of I can't sell these products because my margins are not high enough. And so the way we've addressed that need is we power these businesses with a platform that allows them to create their own online marketplace and dropship programs where they can easily onboard a large selection of curated third-party vendors who are going to bring that extended aisle, that endless aisle, that complementary assortment that makes our clients more relevant to their customers, give them more opportunities to increase the traffic on their site, increase the basket size, increase conversion rates. And that kind of is done across retailers, kind of like department stores, work with companies like Macy's, for example, or Kroger, but also brands. We work with companies like Urban Outfitters, Express, but also companies in the distribution, in the more professional distributions, where we work with companies, for example, in distribution of parts for restaurants like Partstown. We work with companies in pharmaceutical industries, in even aerospace with the Airbus distribution, kind of the old one-stop shop for anything you need in terms of parts, electrical, Sonepar, the world leader in electrical. So we kind of have a pretty unique value proposition in the sense that we help these businesses transform the way they do business today by not just making or buying products they sell, but also connecting supply with demand and, you know, making commissions on those sales. And over the last few years, we've complemented this offering with solutions to increase conversion. So we have the Miracle Target to Sell product, which allows what we call curation at scale. When you're Macy's and you multiply by 20, 30 the assortment on your site, you want to make sure that additional assortment is visible, etc. We're also launching a Miracle Ads. So it's sponsored products and ways for the sellers who come and sell on the Macy's, for example, to get more visibility for their products and create more monetization strategies. And we've also launched a payout model. So it's part of our foray into financial services. One of the complexities with marketplaces is once you've taken money in, you need to pay out to the third parties who are actually fulfilling the order. And so that's a very long answer to a simple question. And I hope but it sets the tone for.
Yeah. The thing that stands out most is that it sounds like the platform does a lot of the heavy lifting and allows the retailer, the brand, to really focus on customer engagement, marketing, making sure that, you're getting the conversions that you plan for and have better growth outcomes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, we recently released a survey, a customer survey, where one of the interesting findings was that customers want, of course, they want more choice. They want the better prices. They want a higher quality of service. And they want to buy from a brand they trust. But at the same time, only 17% of the thousands of respondents said that they are loyal to the brand they trust. So that makes everything a bit more complicated and hence the way marketplaces is also a very strong defense mechanism for anyone who's trying to serve customers, because marketplaces increase the size of the selection and assortment. Often there is more sellers, so there is a competition on the price and they are all kind of you mutualize in a way the inventory of everyone of a large, it's the network effect. So it creates more opportunities for things to be in stock, available to ship, etc.
Speaking of consumers, what do they expect from an online shopping experience? You mentioned that, there's so few brand loyal, but so what do they expect when they go to a marketplace or any engage their favorite brand?
I think they it's a combination of, they want to find, we used to say, anything at any time, anywhere. And that's the reality of what these companies have to approach now. And I have two daughters who are turning 13 and 15.
And that's a age.
Yeah, it's a difficult age. But I was trying to have a philosophical discussion with them yesterday. And one of the things I was telling them is you don't realize that your only reference is instantaneity of everything. Okay. And that's the biggest challenge for all these businesses that have been around for years, decades, and it's how do you address these changing customers? And we see that, people may say, oh yes, that's a new generation, TikTok, Instagram, etc. But I mean, we're all guilty of doing the same thing on our personal needs, and we're all guilty of doing the same thing on our business needs. Just look around offices, how people buy and source. Yeah, you might have, still your ongoing contract for toilet paper, but when you need a part to repair a product, there's no way you're waiting like before for have it shipped, etc. It needs to be there ASAP.
Let's talk a little bit about the pandemic, because you know, we had a ramp up of online sales. Obviously, everybody was in lockdown mode. And then it kind of it super peaked and then decelerated a little bit. But we're still at a level that, that's above, you know, pre-pandemic levels, right? So what happened? How has online shopping, you know, for whether you're a business or a consumer, how has it changed by the pandemic? What happened?
I think there's a couple of things. For us, the clients we serve, they kind of had a realization, you know, kind of a realization during the pandemic that the customer had really seized power, and that the whole mentality that was built out of the traditionally merchant-led organizations around the fact that, you know, we select products and customers come to us for our selection, this becomes much more fragile. Yeah, you know, if you're Hermès or Louis Vuitton, and I'm going to try not to mention only French brands, but yes, you still have an edge because of the unique creativity and positioning of your products. But beyond that, customers have really seized power, and it's an opportunity and not a threat. It's an opportunity to serve them with what they want. And I remember Jeff Gennett, the CEO of Macy's, who was interviewed on Mad Money, and he was announcing the upcoming launch of Macy's Marketplace. And one of the things he mentioned live on national television was, during the pandemic, we realized that our customers wanted bread making machines. Right. And we would have never bought and sourced and offered bread making machines, but we kind of like, why not? You know, does it make us less of a quality department store if we actually get the products people want? And so I think that's kind of the realization. And what happens, which is interesting, is that during that 2021, 2020 period, we measured the growth of the marketplace segment of our customers' business. So comparing the products they ship and own themselves versus the product they sell through third parties. And the third party driven sales grew roughly 2x the products, the first party product. And one could have thought this is going to kind of wind down after the pandemic.
Right.
Last year, we announced, and these were publicly announced results, that our customers' revenues, so marketplace sales, grew by 43%. And as of end of February, we are growing at 50%. So our customers' marketplace business is still growing at 50% year on year, which is surpassing any other growth rates. And you know, when you look at, and obviously not all, I mean, it's an average. So you have people at 100%, people at 10%. What's the difference between 10% and 100%? Number of products offering and number of partners that you've brought on the platform. The more products, the more partners, the more growth.
You know, it sounds, and I love the example of the bread machine. It allows you to respond to consumer, you know, trends, right? I mean, the ability to, you know, to have an endless aisle, you could shift. And what was the word you used before? Curate. You could better curate and make your brand relevant to the consumer, right?
Yeah, it's exactly that. And I think it's in a way, it's a much more partnership approach with your customers. Because before, as I was saying, it was, hey, customer, we thought you would like this, so come and buy it from us. Now it's kind of we still select products because we're good at it. We know who we work, but you kind of also tell us you're looking for, even like a lot of our customers, what they do is they go on the search engine and they look for every request and they compare what people are searching for with what they actually have. And you would be so surprised by the number of search results that turn either completely inappropriate, not adapted results, or just, sorry, we don't have this.
Well, what about the retailer that has a physical store? How does the endless aisle marketplace data, how does that inform merchandising? I mean, did Macy's turn around and start putting bread machines in physical stores, or does it inform that at all? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. The more I would say integrated the marketplace strategy is with the overall company's vision, the better, because you can indeed use the marketplace as a lab to identify top selling products and bring them onto your stores. We have also a lot of customers who are deploying virtual endless aisle in their stores. So, for example, Hudson's Bay in Canada, they have a marketplace corner in the stores where the best selling marketplace products are proposed in an area in the store that also gives you access from the store to the whole selection on the marketplace. So it's really something that's very compelling for anyone in retail.
What about like small brands looking to expand and grow? Like, what are some of the challenges they face, and what are the opportunities that are out there for them?
Yeah, so most small brands historically were not able to be showcased, surfaced in large retailers because the quantities that they would be able to sell would be too small for the buyers to really bring the brand. They could not really be present. And now marketplace, and this is one of our customer in the fashion apparel space who said that recently, with our marketplace, we will be able to offer to our customers the full expression of the brands. And that means either bringing more emerging brands or even, sustainable brands, brands from diversity, like Madewell has a whole section, Brands We Love, where they showcase minority-owned brands, Black-owned businesses. But also, the full expression of the brand means instead of like working with a great brand but only taking in 15% of their assortment, you can now take 15% of their assortment in your traditional buy and resell model. And the remaining 85% can be offered by the brand directly through the marketplace. And so what was interesting, recently, there were the Macy's, had their earnings, announced and we counted during the whole transcript, the word marketplace was mentioned by their CEO more than 30 times. And beyond citing marketplace as one of their top five priorities, when you see he precisely listed the benefits that they were getting from it, and I think this kind of really was interesting, like top of mind, there was something around capturing incremental sales in categories and brands where they've historically had limited offers. They gave the examples of video games and electronics, driving a larger average order value and higher units per order. I think there was something around quickly moving into new and adjacent categories without taking any inventory risk, giving their customers more choice at scale, and also bringing the flexibility, which is also something that came from the supply chain disruptions during COVID, but like shifting channels for certain customer wanted brands that maybe don't have enough high velocity or sell throughs. So you can move them to marketplace or bring them back in house if they've picked up, etc. And yeah, so it's really interesting to hear the customers themselves, basically.
How do you see online marketplaces kind of evolving over the next 5 or 10 years? What happens next?
For us, I think we are not even at the midway passage.
Right.
There's when you think even I See Miracle, we've been around for 11 years. Some of the the companies we start to partner with today, our first conversations could have been 7 years ago. And 7 years ago, I would have been kicked out by security from the corporate office. And now it's become strategic to them. The millions, hundreds of millions of new brands and merchants, for example, that have been creating thanks to technologies like Shopify, allowing them to create their own stores. It's great to have a store, but you need the visibility to have more sell through. And so we really see this world evolving where you have more and more businesses who are operating marketplaces, and there's a lot of intersections. You know, some merchants may have a marketplace, but also sell on other marketplaces. We have companies like that where they have their own niche category, which they're deepening with the marketplace, but they're also filling up a gap for larger assortment business. And so those intersections are really going to continue to grow, and we see that through the numbers.
Last question: you have a book coming out? Is that true? What are you working on?
Yeah, we don't have the video, but I'm showing it to you right now. It's called the Online Marketplace Advantage. It's published with Wiley, and it's all about stories. Customer stories. There's more than 30 real customer journeys through marketplace. As simple as market what? What are you? You want me to be Amazon? There's never, no way I'm going to do that. I care about my customers. To, oh, I understand. I can have my own curated version of it. And so all these stories of businesses taking the leap to transform themselves, ultimately driven by, serving your customers better, selling more, scaling faster, and the Bee Gees used to say, staying alive.
Staying alive. We're almost out of time. Just any key takeaways listeners should kind of take note of? Besides buy the book.
I'm in a musical mood, so call me maybe. You've got my number. No, but more seriously, I think marketplace can be sometimes daunting because it's a new way of doing business. You have fears of cannibalization, of bad impact on your customer experience. I just think that we're at a time where enough people have done it now and well, that people should really be thinking about what marketplace strategy is good for them.
Okay. Adrian, thank you so much. And listeners, thank you for tuning in. And we'll see everybody soon. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Arthur.